and welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions, your authorized sales agent for Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. This is a special edition for us. We are honoring the 39th annual Polar Bear Jump Off in Seward, Alaska. It's taking place today, and it's where our show, the Big Alaska Show, started 18 years ago when we emceed the jump, and then we did the debut for the Big Alaska Show where the equipment didn't work. We would go emcee the jump, and then later we would go to the Ray Building and record a show with a live audience, and we would honor the top 10 jumpers that raised the most money. Mike, how would you describe the Top 10 Jumpers Award Ceremony?
Chaos.
It's chaos. Yes. Our moniker, the longest-running mistake-ridden radio show in Alaska history, does not disappoint. The Top 10 Jumper Award Ceremony, where after the jump, we assemble at an auditorium near the Sea Life Center, seats about 200 or so people, and we honor the top 10 jumpers who raised the most money for the American Cancer Society for this event. They get prizes and awards, and we get a little interview with them. So this is a good example of what the Top 10 Jumper Awards Ceremony sounds like with a live audience.
To you from the Ray Building in downtown Seward, Alaska, the all-American city of Seward, Alaska, and broadcast from the studios of AM 750 KFQD and at 103.7 FM and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com. I'm Uncle Steve with some Big Alaska Show friends. And joining us are some special appearances from Polar Bear volunteers and the American Cancer Society as we honor the top 10 jumpers having raised the most money for the Polar Bear Jump Off. Designed to raise your spirits, not your blood pressure. Good morning. It's
the Big Alaska Show.
All right. Kim, get on down here again.
Kim, bend. You know why Kim's doing this last year? She actually won the... Well, I'll have her tell you the story. Come on over here, Kim. It's good to see you again.
You too.
You looked so good last year in your golfing outfit.
Thank you.
And you don't play golf.
No. I've tried.
And why last year were you dressed as a golfer?
My uncle, who is an avid golfer, was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and so it was kind of a surprise for him.
Yeah, I bet she was very proud of you. Probably brought a tear to his eye.
I've never seen or heard him cry before, and he called me after when he saw the pictures, and he was teared up a little bit.
And how did you win golf? You won golf clubs. How did you win those?
On the Price is Right. The Drew Carey version, Bob Barker, the real.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What else did you win?
Golf cart, a bedroom set, mattresses, bedding, and a chaise lounge.
So you can imagine why we were so disappointed that she came to accept her awards here in the Big Alaska.
Yeah, I got the Coke. I'm very happy.
Anyway, you raised a total of...
3,826. 26 was my mom's favorite number, so we had to make sure it was at 26.
You stopped there.
Yeah, I was like, we're good, stop.
Well, Kim, you inspire us all. Let's give a big round of applause to Kim Bender. Okay.
All right, our number two fundraiser earns themselves a Adventure 60 North King's Head Sea Kayaking and Resurrection Bay Tour for up to four persons, Alaska Railroad Round Trip Ticket from Anchorage to Seward to Anchorage. Unless you live in Seward, I guess you got to go the other way. A GCI cell phone pouch, the six-pack of Coke, a gallon's gift card. Having raised $7,160, Robert Bachman.
Yeah! Now, what was the outfit you were jumping in?
What was that outfit? My buddies and I represent the UAA psychology department, and so we wear lab coats. And our UAA color wigs, which everyone thinks is because we're representing the Packers, because it's green and gold.
Respect. Yeah. Now, the other gentleman you jumped with.
He's here. Brock Tucker is here.
And Brock Tucker is a cancer survivor. I can cheer for him. $7,160. When did you start fundraising? How did it start?
I started fundraising in 2009, and I've been doing it ever since. And I was always interested in the polar bear plunge, but never got around to doing it until my father passed away at Christmas in 2007, and he passed away from cancer. And that really motivated me to start doing the fundraising in his honor.
Well, he'd be very proud, and you make us proud, and you inspire us. Let's hear it for Robert Bachman. There's more.
I just was notified that there was another award for first place for the most money raised through online sponsorships. And guess who got that, Robert?
I don't know.
Tell Robert what we just won then.
A nice plaque.
I just want to give a shout out to my team member, Brock Tucker, because I think the 10th place winner was $1,000.06. Is that correct? Is that right?
Yes.
Well, my buddy and teammate Brock earned $1,000 even, and I'm just going to say I'll throw in another dollar, and he's the top. He's in the top 10.
All right. Henry, who's thinking now we're getting down to it?
Okay, this is one we've been waiting for. This person gets a $1,000 gift certificate from Polar Bear Festival to Travel Services Incorporated, a GCI cell phone pouch, a Gallows gift card. You know, we could be taken to Gallows. A six-pack of Coke, having raised $10,151. Another name that we see very often in this job. Come on up here, Chrissy.
Chrissy. Come on over here, young lady. You live where?
Homer.
And you've done this how many years now?
This is my 15th jump this year.
And you've been in this position a number of times. How many times have you won first place?
This is my fourth out of 15.
I've been
in the top 10 every year since the first year I jumped. The first year I raised $1,055 and thought I was going to win and had no idea how much you people raise. I learned my lesson. I better ante it up a little more.
And why did you get involved? What has inspired you?
The first year, I didn't really know what it was. A friend of mine and I drove over thinking it was the slush cup. We got here, and it was blowing and rainy and slushy, and my back of my pants were frozen, and my leg. Let's do this next year. And my friend and I were going to jump, and she bailed, so I jumped by myself. And then the next year, I was pregnant and couldn't jump, and I've jumped every year since then.
Okay. And so when did you start fundraising for this particular year, or 2013? 14.
I attempted to start in August and had many family issues. I lost my grandpa to cancer last month. My mom's dad passed away. A couple days later, my uncle passed away. And then it's been a really rough year. So honestly, I only raised $1,500 before I left to go to California to see my other grandpa who was didn't think they were going to make it. And I started 10 days ago.
Wow. And Christy has jumped for a real good friend of mine who lost his brother, Jimmy Cronus. So You know, you're one of our favorites, and we love it, especially your outfits, because we keep teasing her that with her outfits, when she comes out, she'll be immediately arrested. You are an angel. All of you that are fundraisers, all of you that are here, make a difference, whether you know it or not. Let's hear it for Christy Bonhill, and let's hear it for all of our jumpers for raising the thousands. You are heroes.
A number of people come up from outside mm-hmm. to do this jump.
Yes.
And one of the people was a compadre of yours that works yep. one of the, at the, I guess at the national level, or whatever her,
yeah.
or regional or whatever it is.
Yeah, she's a good friend of one of our senior people at our office. Cheryl is her friend.
Okay. Her name is Julie Brickner, and Julie had come up from Ohio, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And jumped
yes.
as part of it. And so we asked her to come up and share her experience of being a person from outside of Alaska. And this is our little interview clip with Julie. We're down to our last two, but before we do that, Julie Brickner came up from the American Cancer Society in Ohio. Why don't we give her a warm, big Alaska show welcome to Alaska. Come on up here, Brickner. Julie, welcome to the Big Alaska Show. I know growing up you had many dreams, and I'm sure one of them was going to be, one day I'm going to be on the Big Alaska Show.
That was on my bucket list, just added this morning when I found out about you. But so I get to check that and jumping into the cold water off my list.
What is your position with the American Cancer Society?
So I work with our Relay for Life department nationwide, and I live in Columbus, Ohio. And I either had a choice of jumping into the Olentangy River in Columbus for a polar bear jump, or I could come all the way to Alaska, and I think I chose the better option.
Yeah! So.
Now, this was your first time to jump.
Very first time. Last. So a brain freeze.
So what'd you learn, other than this is going to be your last jump, which is enough, I'm sure. So what advice can you give to those who come after you who are rookies? Any suggested strategies?
Just shut your mind off and just hold your breath. Had several people, when I asked for tips, they're like, okay, scissor your legs, that'll pop you up. Don't worry, you're probably going to quit breathing and your heart's going to stop, but that's okay, it'll start back up. I've had other people say, take a deep breath and, you know, blow out in the water so you don't swallow half the harbor. And so I tried all three of those and none of it worked. And but I'm still alive. So basically what it shows me is that my 10 minutes of uncomfortableness is nothing compared to the folks that go through cancer.
One thing we like to talk about is in the fight of cancer, there have been advances all the time. What are some of the cool things happening now in the fight against cancer?
There's a lot, actually. The survival rate has increased dramatically. Screening, the way we've been able to screen folks now and catch cancers earlier, has drastically changed. You know, I had a cousin back in 1983, was the sixth person ever to get a bone marrow transplant at Ohio State University, leukemia. And the cancer he had then, now he can take with just pills. They don't even need chemo. They don't need any of that. So when you think about just in 25 years, how you went from bone marrow being in your own little bubble for 6 weeks, to now you can just take pills. I mean, it's amazing. So every day we find new breakthroughs. Our research program is the number one private funded research program in the country outside of the government, which is obviously government funded. But we're really pleased with everything we're doing, and it's because of events like this. And I just want to say thank you to Alaska, thank you to Seward, thank you to everyone, because this is a fabulous event and I really appreciate everything you do. The cure for cancer may not be found in your community, but you guys are funding the cure for cancer in your community, so thank you.
Let's hear a warm thank you so much. Congratulations. Julie Brickner. And that's just a little taste of what it's like at the Top 10 Jumper Awards ceremony. But of course, it's time for one of our all-time favorite things called
Tall Alaskan Tales, Tall Alaskan Tales, no good lying through your tooth, Tall Alaskan Tales.
All right, and you know how we play this. We're going to play this little tale. Let's see if you could determine if this is a truth or a no good lying through your tooth, Tall Alaska Tale.
Seward, Alaska, with a population of 3,016, rests beautifully in the Kenai Peninsula borough. Named after William H. Seward, United States Secretary of State under Abraham Lincoln, in 1867, Seward fought for the U.S. purchase of Alaska, which he finally negotiated to acquire from Russia for $7.2 million. The Alaska purchase gave the United States a landmass about twice the size of Texas. But it came at a time when the United States had just ended the Civil War, and it had an abundance of underpopulated land. In the wake of this, the House held up funding the purchase for more than a year, as the public debate raged over the purchase price and soundness of Seward's decision, to which the purchase of Alaska would be labeled Seward's folly. There's been no doubt that the purchase of Alaska was anything foolish, although in recent years there's been some revisionist history about Seward's decision. In 2009, University of Iowa economist David Barker argued, using a different set of statistics, that the federal government has lost money on Alaska deals since 1867 because of the amount of federal subsidies spent on Alaska. Upon hearing this, members of the city of Seward formed a committee and made a surprise midnight visit to the University of Iowa and the economist in the back of a pickup to show him their set of statistics, made up primarily of shovels, torches, and a rope. Is this a truth or a no-good lion-through-your-tooth tall Alaska tale? Do you think this is a truth or a no-good lion-through-your-tooth tall Alaska tale?
So if you think you know the answer, go to our Big Alaska Show Facebook page and post if you think it's the truth or a no-good lion-through-your-tooth tall Alaska tale. Visit facebook.com/Big Alaska Show and tell us what you think. Besides the 39th Polar Bear Jump-Off, there's another exciting event happening tonight right here in Anchorage, and Mike Ford has all the particulars.
Well, it's very cool. It's the Anchorage Symphony Orchestra, and they've done this periodically. It's not the first time they've done this, but it is Silent Film Night, and they've got a guest conductor who's come up from New York City, Rick Benjamin, and you and my wife thought it was the Rick Benjamin from here, but it's not the Rick Benjamin from here. It's the Rick Benjamin from there. It's fascinating, but basically, Silent Film Night, they go back, and it's like it was in the old days before there was sound in films, and you had orchestras in the theaters. The movies they're showing, Buster Keaton's Cops, Buster Keaton's 1 Week, and Charlie Chaplin's very first feature, A Dog's Life. And this dog looks like Harley the Wonder Beagle. He's not a beagle, but he has this look on his face. That's just, it's anyway. So that's what the deal is. And you'll find out all about this amazing thing that's happening tonight at the Atwood. Jennifer and I are going, it's going to be a great show. And there's actually going to be a little talk prior to it. And so I'm going to go down and find out even more about the whole genre of silent film. It's a restorative thing, and just very cool.
Here's Mike Ford and Rick Benjamin.
It's cool, Mike, in the morning. We have got a treat coming our way Saturday night. The Anchorage Symphony Orchestra will be doing their silent film night. It's a Buster Keaton Cops and 1 Week and Charlie Chaplin's A Dog's Life. And we are pleased to have the guest conductor of this evening of fun, Rick Benjamin. Welcome.
Well, thanks, Mike. It's super great to be here today.
Now, where did you come in from?
I actually came in from the east, from New York.
Okay. Today. And what's the weather been like back there this
Well,
winter?
I luckily just made it out before the big snowstorm came in. And that was fortunate because, you know, the East Coast sort of shut down for a while. In fact, I mean, I think it's just kind of opening up again, so...
Wow.
Very glad to have skirted in under that.
And so you reside back in New York. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with
you
back there.
I'm a conductor, a full-time traveling conductor. My specialty is historic American music, and my specialty within that is conducting authentic scores for silent films.
Wow.
And I'm one of the world's busiest practitioners in this art form. I work in 7 different countries in 49 states now, just missing Idaho. And what I do is recreate the actual scores that went with these films from the silent era when they were new.
Now, are these archived, and are they easily to access, or do you have to do a bit of searching to find those original scores?
Well, actually, a lot of searching. I spend much of my time crawling through attics and basements and archives looking for missing scores from the silent film era. And I've accumulated hundreds of them now. I have 900 scores for silent movies. And a few times during the year, I'll take them on the road and visit different cities, like with the Anchorage Symphony Orchestra this Saturday.
That's fantastic. And when these were scored originally, how big was the orchestra that they were put together for?
Sure. Well, that's the thing that surprises most modern audiences, because back during the silent era was also the time of largest employment for orchestral musicians in this country. There were 100,000 professional musicians playing in orchestras for films.
Wow.
There were something like 10,000 orchestras working in all the states across the U.S. There were more than 21,000 cinemas. And of course, again, just to get the idea across to audiences who have grown up with talking pictures and color and video, this was an era before the films had the ability to speak for themselves. So the musicians in the theater were the voice of the screen.
Isn't that something?
It was a super important job.
Yeah, you never really think about that too much. I mean, now when you're watching a movie, of course, the music is, you know, I mean, Steven Spielberg says John Williams made him the man he is.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, well, even in the silent era, they understood that. The great silent director, King Vidor, said that music is 50% of this presentation. And it really does. It sets you up psychologically for what's going to happen on the screen. And most of the techniques that were developed in the silent era are actually still the ones used today.
Wow.
When I flew out here, I was watching the new Indiana Jones movie on the airplane, and every single one of those musical sequences was in a format that was developed in, you know, 1925.
So there's nothing new.
There isn't too much new under the sun, especially in movie music.
If it works, why, you know?
Right. Well, because psychologically, the way things work with our minds and our feelings hasn't really changed.
Right.
So.
Well, how fascinating. And what got you into this direction?
Well, it's interesting. I went to Juilliard back in the 1980s as studying classical music, and I've accidentally discovered a huge collection of orchestral scores that belong to one of the world's first phonograph companies, the Victor Talking Machine Company. And this material, thousands of scores, was being sent to a landfill. And I thought that was a terrible thing. And I got the idea to actually create an orchestra at Juilliard to perform this early American music, which I did. Met some interesting people along the way, met a couple of great producers and managers and things, and formed what was called the Paragon Ragtime Orchestra, which is still around today. And that's how we got started. We were making recordings in the 1980s, started doing film work in the late 1980s, and we're at it to this day. Still, it's 38 seasons later, we're still going. In my free time, when Paragon will release me, I go out and do guest shots like this.
That's awesome. And where can people go and see some of the stuff that you've gathered? Or is there an online resource?
Sure. Well, they can visit my website, which, of course, is rickbenjamin.com. Or they go to the Paragon Orchestra website, which is paragonragtime.com. And read about what's happening, see videos and pictures and things, all of which relates to what we're doing on Saturday.
Now, speak a little bit more to that. What are we going to get to see Saturday?
Well, it's a rare opportunity to see three wonderful silent comedies on the big screen in a beautiful auditorium with a live symphony orchestra. It's a kind of thing that's only happening, probably this will be the only place on the planet where an event like this is happening that night.
Wow.
On January 13th. And we have two Buster Keaton films, comedy films. One is Cops, and the other is the ultimate home improvement movie called 1 Week. But the feature film for the night is Charlie Chaplin in his first feature film from 1918, and it's called A Dog's Life. And it's about the adventures of the little tramp and his dog Scraps in the big bad city. And exactly, that's the reaction when the iris of the camera opens to the first scene with them with the little dog. The audience goes, "Oh," and I just love that. But what's great about it is you'll be seeing this again on the big screen with this giant orchestra playing live. There's no way to experience this at home or on the internet or sitting in your,
right,
no matter how nice your home entertainment system is. And the other thing is, this is a reconstruction of the original 1918 musical score, which has only been heard, this will be the third time it's been heard anywhere in the world.
Oh my gosh.
Since I finished working on this a couple years ago.
Wow.
So In a way, it's a very rare event, something you can't experience unless you go to the Atwood Concert Hall on Saturday night.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate you stopping by this morning. I had no idea what was going on, and this is just, you know, I played the Miraphone back in the day.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'll definitely be there Saturday night to check it out.
That would be great.
Matter of fact, we have an opportunity to give away some tickets. I'll take callers 5 and 7. You're getting a pair of tickets to this amazing event. Rick Benjamin, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you. That's at the Atwood Concert Hall, and it's coming up 7:30, Anchorage Symphony Orchestra on Saturday night.
That's right. Great. Thank you, Mike.
Safe travels.
Well, thank you.
So, that's our show. We're proud that our show started in the all-American city of Seward, Alaska 18 years ago at the Polar Bear Jump Off. Even if our equipment didn't work, we did manage to pull it off using old technology, a landline with cases of scotch as chairs for our guests. And it set us off on the path to be the longest-running, mistake-ridden radio show in Alaska's history. But that's okay. Look who we surround ourselves with. People like the American Cancer Society, the jumpers that raise money, the volunteers and citizens of Seward, joining together to boldly fight cancer and encourage us all on. And thanks, Mike. 18 years, pal. And to my baby girl, love you. And Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
All right, Uncle Steve, we want to thank everyone with the Polar Bear Jump Off for joining us. We want to thank you for listening, and we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's Window Experts at 6251 Tunnel, or online at neighborswindowsanddoors.com, and Alaska Enterprise Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent for Alaska. Visit them at aesalaska.com. If it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good line 3 or 2 Tall Alaska Tales, it's gotta be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.